So I don't know what your attitude is towards the new year. Bryson mentioned New Year's resolutions. He wasn't going to ask. I'm going to ask. Who has a New Year's resolution in the house? Wow, ambitious. We got high hopes for this year, right? Let's just do that one more time. Who has a New Year's resolution for this year? It didn't go up very much. It seems like those are kind of out. And I don't know if that's because we've figured out that they don't really work. We're afraid of failure, so if we don't set goals, then we really won't fail. That's kind of my approach. A few weeks ago, or just a couple days before New Year's Day, we were at dinner with a few other people. We were having great conversation, great time, so I thought I'd just contribute a question to the table, all sitting in a circle. I was like, who has a New Year's resolution? And it was silent. It killed the conversation. I felt like an idiot. No one had anything, and somebody felt bad for me. They're like, we're thinking about juicing, you know? I don't know if that counts. I don't even know if that's a good idea or not. But we all, around this new time of year, no matter if we're into resolutions or we're not, a new year, with the dawning of a new year, we start thinking about new hope. And all of us in some form of fashion are thinking about change. Changes that we'd like to make. Changes that we'd like to see happen in our life. Things that we hope won't change. And for Louie and I and our church, we think the best place to start our new year, 2014, is not just thinking about what we want to change, but thinking about what God wants to change in our lives. And I want you to think about this. To start your year, what has God resolved to do in your heart, in your life? What's He committed to this year for you? So we have an unchanging God. We're starting a series called Change Up. Here's where it is. We have an unchanging God, and He has unchanging purposes for our lives. The definition of resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action. That's the resolution, right? Well, here's what God has decided firmly to do in our lives. It's Romans 8, 28. I'm going to read it out of the Message version. We can be so sure that in every detail of our lives, of love for God, is worked into something good. NIV says, God works all things out for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. He says, God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. The Son stands first in line of humanity He restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in Him. After God that made that decision of what His children should look like, He followed it up by calling people by name. And after He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then after getting them established, He stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what He had begun. From the beginning, that's what it said. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He knew what He wanted to do in our lives. He knew that He wanted to work all things out for the good of those who love Him. That's what He has been committed to for you since the beginning. That's His resolution towards you this year. He is committed to working all things out for your good and His glory. And He said He's also in the process of producing change in you to make you look more like Jesus. Not just a few people that are going to get closer to Jesus. He wants everyone of His children to look more like His Son Jesus, His perfect Son Jesus. That's His resolution. That's His determined course of action that He's had from the very beginning. And you're like, slow down just a little bit, okay? Like, that might be aiming a little too high, don't you think, Brad? I mean, I was just kind of hoping to maybe get a new job, save a little money, lose a little weight, work out a little bit more, go on a date. I had some little bit smaller resolutions in mind than looking like Jesus. But that's what He wants to do. He wants to change up what's happening in our lives. He wants to increase our desire for who we can be. He wants to up the ante of what we think can happen in our lives. It's the change up. And so we don't need to lose hope because it's not up to us, right? The change that God wants to produce in your life, it's not up to you. It's not going to come through your power. He wants to do it in you, and he wants to do it through you. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I would love it if all of us could turn there. If you've got it on your phone, if you brought your physical copy, which I know is not so much in style these days, it's a little bit hard to keep up with, so we just keep it on our phones, but we're going there, all of us. I got there. Well, it's not a race, by the way. I'm not trying to make people feel bad or not bad when they know where 1 Peter is, but if you've got it, raise it up. If you found 1 Peter on your phone or in your text, raise it up, and if not, we'll just assume you're still working. Okay, you got it? Okay, 1 Peter 1. Okay, turn to 2 Peter 1. What? 2 Peter 1. When you got it, you raise it up. Be proud. Okay, you see it? 2 Peter 1. First verse, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. All right, quick journey through scripture. Acts chapter 2. It's a little Bible race right here, you know, like back to VBS. Like, oh no, what would they call that? Sword drills, okay. I didn't use that term. Is that the right term you were saying? Okay, great. Sword drills at PCC on January 5th. Here we go. Acts chapter 2. Let's read a little scripture. Verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off." Man, that's awesome. "For all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." In verse 40, "With many other words, Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation, this corrupt world.' And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." If we had time, we'd flip over to Acts chapter 4, and we would see another message from Simon Peter. His original name was Simon. Jesus changed his name to Peter once he called him to follow him. But this book is, especially the New Testament's, full of stories of God working through Peter's life. You're like, you think about change up and the potential for what God can do in our lives. I want us to think about Peter. And I know so many of us know that story, but it's amazing. Peter has two books in the Bible. God used this man to breathe out his word for us to talk about 2,000 years later, name churches after him, people naming their babies after him. He was leading thousands of people to Jesus in his day, and still now he speaks, right? His life speaks to us. If you move backwards a little bit, you'll get to Luke chapter 18 in the New Testament. And you know this about Peter. It might be what he's known best for, is that he denied Jesus how many times? Three times. So in the Bible, the subheadings that were added in our text, not in the original scripture, was Peter denies Jesus. Peter denies Jesus again. Peter denies Jesus again on the same day. He had a temper. In John chapter 13, you can read about how he would make big promises that led to big failures. And I know that we can all relate to that, especially me. So you're thinking about the potential for what God can do in your life, and you got to think about Peter, a hothead to writing books in the Bible. And so that should give you hope for what God can do, right? If we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 next. Go there. Luke chapter 5. Between Luke chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 1, sorry if this isn't blowing you away, but it has been rocking me all week, is that this book's not about Peter, but Peter's in a lot of these pages, and there are a lot of pages between Luke chapter 5, where Peter's journey with Jesus started, and him writing a book of the Bible, or God writing a book of the Bible through him, through his Holy Spirit. Pages, seasons, chapters, new years, ups, downs, progress, mistakes, growing closer to Jesus, turning his back on Jesus, And so as we think about change, we just got to look at Peter's life and we got to remember that change does not happen overnight. And the change that God is working in you is not going to happen in an instant. Amen? It's a process. And God is committed to that process in your life. And so I just want to, as we start our year and we think about the change that God wants to do, I just want us to all take a deep breath. No, like seriously, I want us to take a deep breath. Here we go. That feel good? One more. We're all in process. No one's arrived. No one's perfect. We've all got a long ways to go. Why don't you just maybe whisper that to your neighbor, like, hey, you've got a long ways to go. No offense. And they're like, well, who are you to be talking? Y'all can work the deeper things out of that later. We got to keep moving. But there's great news. If you are not where you want to be, there's great news because God is not through with you yet. And who you are and who I am is not who we will be because God is resolved to a process of producing change in our lives that will lead us closer to Jesus and make us look more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on, I'm going to clap. I'm sorry. I told you I was excited. So we get to, hold on, let me catch my breath. I'm just really excited. Sorry. That wasn't a chance to check my notes, even though that would have been smooth. We get to Luke chapter 5, and this is where Peter's journey with Jesus began. And I want us to think about how this story applies to our journey with Jesus. Luke 5, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, Jesus was speaking. So therefore, they were listening to the word of God because Jesus was God, is God in the flesh. He said he saw the water at the water's edge, two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, the previously mentioned Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Just get that in your mind for a minute. How awesome of a picture is that? 2,000 years ago, there were so many people that wanted to see who this Jesus guy was and what he was all about. They just crowded him on the side of the sea or on the side of the lake. And it's so crowded and no one could hear. He had to get in a boat, got in a boat just a few, you know, a little bit off the shore. And he sat down and he started speaking and people were listening, captivated. Who is this man and what does he have to say? The water would probably help the voice of Jesus echo so more people could hear. And he was in Simon's boat. And after he was teaching, he looked at Simon and he said, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Let's go fishing, Peter. And Peter's like, verse 5, he says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. I mean, I love the honesty of Peter. And I don't want you to miss that. He was like, Jesus, thank you for inviting me to go fishing. Thank you for saying, let's go catch some fish. I just want to remind you, we just got back from out there. You saw us washing our nets. We didn't catch anything. The fish are not biting. They're not taking the bait. We are going to be wasting our time because we just came back empty. If you want another reason, Jesus, why I don't think this is the best time that we should go fishing, then Peter's starting to think, anyone knows that the best time to go fishing back in the day was at night. That's when all the fishermen would go out. The water would be cooler, the fish would come to the shore or come to the surface to eat, and then they could just catch all the fish a whole lot easier. So when Jesus says, let's go fishing in the mid-morning, middle of the day, Peter's like, I don't know if that's a great idea. He's like, and aren't you a carpenter? Why don't you go back to your workshop, leave the deep sea fishing to us. We know what we're doing. We've been at this for a long time. And oh, just one more reason, Jesus, I just want to make sure you see all the people on the shore that you just spoke to, hearing the word of God, thousands of people. If we turn our boats and head towards the deep waters to go fishing, they'll think we are crazy because they know people don't catch fish at night. Jesus, are you kidding me? Is that what you're asking me to do? Is that what you think's a good idea? But then here comes the changeup. And this is where Peter's life changed. And through him, the world changed. He said, "But because you say so, I will let down the net." Seven words that Peter said to Jesus. And everything shifted. Everything changed. Everything changed up. The first word is really important to me. And I think it's really important to you. It's the word "but." And I don't want you to miss it. Because in that word, there was doubt. In that word, there was Peter, not sure if Jesus knew what he was talking about. Not sure if Jesus was worth following. Not sure how the outcome was going to go. Not sure what the results would be. A little afraid, little faith. It wasn't in that moment like Peter, Bible writer, you know, getting his buddies, James and John, his brother Andrew, all disciples. Hey, Jesus is saying, let's go to the deep and go fishing. Let's just all hold hands and sing, "I surrender all to Jesus in the key of C." You know, it wasn't that moment. It wasn't "all to Jesus I surrender." Come on, please help me. "All to him I freely give." That's not what they were singing. It was the word "but." He's like, "Jesus, you just heard my reasons. I'm not sure about this. And I just want you to know that God's not afraid of your doubt. God's not afraid of your questions, your uncertainties on who God is and what he's doing in your life is not throwing him off of his throne, making things spin out of control because you're not sure. You might not be sure, but Jesus is always sure. And that your doubt won't change that. You can be honest in this church. We talked about community groups earlier. One of the best things we have going here at PCC is people from all different walks of life coming together in their part of the city. No one has it all together. Everyone is in process. And just we can just come and say, we're trying to take steps closer to Jesus, like Peter. We might not have all the answers. We don't have it all figured out. No one's better than anyone, but we're just going to get on this journey together and try to follow Jesus. The first point I mentioned was change doesn't happen overnight. The second one that I want you to know is that change starts with a step. The change that God is working in your life starts with a step. That's what happened in Peter's life, right? The step that he said, "Okay, Jesus, I'll give you a shot. I'll see how this works out." For us, we're infamous for making gigantic goals. Big statements, big banner statements. This is how my life is going to change. This is what I'm doing. That's the old me. This is the new me. I won't do that again. Jesus, I promise that was the last time. Jesus, I promise, everybody listen to me, you know, gather close. I want to make a big statement to God in front of all the people. We make these big goals, but like Peter, they lead to big failures. And I think what God wants to speak into our house today, and talking about this series a lot with Louie, is let's think small, right? Let's shrink 2014 just a little bit and not be afraid of the change that God wants to do in our lives and the change that we hope that we can make closer to him. But let's just shrink 2014. January is a lot more realistic goal, right? Maybe you need to, there's a change that God is speaking into your life. And right now you're thinking about something. And you're like, man, that is a step that God is calling me to take, that he is challenging me to take. I'm going to think about January, including today. There are 27 days left in January. You should make a 27-day goal for you. And remember that change starts with a step, and great gains come from a bunch of small steps put together. Great gains come from making small steps forward. And that's the change that God wants to produce in your life. And the change is going to hinge on seven words. Seven words. But because you say so, I will. God is speaking into your life. God has spoken into your life, into my life. He wants to lead us. He wants to speak into our circumstances. He wants to tell us the right way to go. He wants to tell us the way things are going to work out best for us. He wants to lead us to life and life to the full. And we need to respond. But I don't know. Not always sure. I don't have it all together. But because who's talking to me, I'm going to give it a shot. It's not just what the words are, but it's whose words they are. You following me? You ever hear the phrase, well, who told you to do that? Wait, who said what? Jesus, the Son of God, has spoken and is speaking and is offering you the best route for your 2014. Then it's up to us. Are we going to give it a shot? Are we going to respond? Are we going to taste and see that he is good? Have you ever, has there been a person in your life that whatever they said, it went? Like if they said, told you to do something, you were going to do it because how great you thought they were. You looked up to them so much. You're like, I just want to be like them. I want to dress like them. I want to act like them. I want to play football like them. It's like your coach is telling you to play a certain way. So, you know, your role model's telling you to, you know, do this or that. Or I don't have any girl examples, so I'll just keep moving on. For me, it was a guy named Stephen Hamrick. I don't talk to Stephen anymore, but he used to live right behind me, and he was several years older than me. And I grew up in a small town in West Texas called Canyon. And he was the best basketball player that I had seen or have ever seen come through Canyon High School, in my opinion. And I was a lot younger, but I love basketball. He would come shoot hoops with me in my driveway, you know, sometimes when I was a lot younger. And I wanted to be just like Steven, and I definitely wanted to be as good at basketball as he was. I picked the number that he had all through elementary, middle school, and high school. I was wearing Steven's number. I was trying to shoot just like him. Steven, can you come help me with my shot? I want to be like you. I went so far, I even got my hair cut like Steven. It was the half part, the half spike. Y'all remember that haircut? I think you'll have to imagine it on me. We can't get there anymore, but it would have made me feel better if you didn't laugh, but we'll just keep moving. Thinking that some people should bring it back. But I thought Steven was so great that I was willing to do what he did. And God is wanting, like in Peter's life, to open our eyes to who he is, to open our eyes to how great he is, how powerful he is, how loving he is. Open our eyes to his purpose in our lives, where we would be like, there's no other option. If Jesus is speaking, then I am doing. If the words are coming out of his mouth, then that is the best thing for me to do. Even though I don't know how things are going to work out, even though it might take me to an uncomfortable place. Jesus is like, let's go to the deep waters. I think Jesus is telling some of you, don't be afraid to leave the comfort zone. Because that's where God comes through with the supernatural. That's where we see the supernatural, when we're willing to say, we're going for it. Jesus, we're gonna follow you wherever you lead. Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That's a great summary of the Old Testament. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And here's who his Son is. Here's who is calling Peter to the deep waters. Here's who we're listening to through the word, right? Because by Jesus and through Jesus and for Jesus, all things were created. It says, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. God's spoken through his Son, Jesus. And he continues to speak. And we have his word. You have his word. I'm just speaking for myself. But if I consistently remembered who wrote this, whose words they were, where they came from, that they came straight out of heaven, the ruler and the creator of all, who's known what he was doing from the very beginning and nothing could stop him, speaking into our life, into my life, why don't I treasure it? Why don't you treasure it? Something's wrong. We forget who wrote it. And we forget the power that these words have. It's the living and active word of God for your life. And we should not just like keep it on the table or pop it open every once in a while. But we should build our whole lives on it. Because God, the eternal God, has spoken to us, is speaking to us. He knows the best. He's leading us to the best. He knows what we're going through. He's bigger than what we're going through. He knows what trials are coming. He can lead us out of those. He knows the temptations, the pressure, the struggle, the uncertainty, the fear, the decisions. And he's speaking. And so this afternoon, I just wonder, simply, not big seismic goal, but what is one area of your life that you need to put under the authority of Jesus and under the authority of the Word of God? One area that you would be like Peter. I don't know. I'm having a little hard time letting go. But because you said so, God, I will give it a shot. I will take you at your word. I will do this the way you want me to do it. I will give your word a shot. I will taste and see that you are good. Is it a relationship? And even right now, God is just speaking so powerfully to you that's not going the way it needs to be going. And it's not working out like the way it could work out. You just need to put it under the word of God. Is it the way you're treating your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents? I just need to figure out what Jesus' word says because it's living and active and it speaks into my circumstances. So I'm going to dig in and find out what he thinks and what way he's leading me to get it under the word of God. Is it something in your past? God's speaking to it, telling you how to deal with it. Something that happens, temptation that you're facing when no one else is watching or seeing, a decision that you're facing. It's one area of your life that you need to put under the word of God and say seven words. For 2014, I want to give seven words a shot. 2 + 0 + 1 + 4 = 7. But because you say so, I will. And I hope and I pray for my life and for our church. And I believe that like Peter, things will radically change when in 2014 we walk with those seven words in our hearts and in our mouth. And I'm hoping that every time you write that, I know we don't write checks anymore because that's so outdated, but every time you write down the number 2014, you'll remember, but because you say so, I will. God, I'm going to start trying to do it your way. I'm going to start listening to what you have to say, and I'm going to start following you. See, here's how it's worked out for Peter. He's like, man, God, it didn't work out last night, but we're going to give it a shot. Most of you are like, I can relate. My life's not working out how I'd hoped, wanted, not getting the right results, the satisfaction, the fulfillment that I think I think is out there. Surely there's got to be more. But they said, all right, we'll give it a shot. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come on out and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Just if you got a pen, circle the word full. God's life, God's promise, God's word leads to fulfillment. It leads to full. That's what he wants to do in your 2014. He wants to lead you closer to the full that you've always hoped for. Might not look like what you think it should, but it'll be better. Because God's definition of full is way better than our thought for what full could be, right? He said, their boats were full. They begin to sink. So Peter said, he saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. They had never seen anything like it. One in a lifetime kind of catch. They were blown away so much that he didn't come back boasting to the shore. Hey, check us out. Look at me, I'm Peter. Look at the fish that we all caught together. No, he got low. He got real low because he realized that the full nets weren't because of anything in his own power, but all because of the power of the Son of God who was standing right there with him. That's what happens when we come close to Jesus. We get low. We start depending on him because God's not trying to lead us to independence. He's leading us to complete dependence. And so we just got to get low. You're God. I am not. So whatever you say, it goes. And then Jesus said to Simon, last point, we're wrapping up. Don't be afraid. From now on, you Peter, you, the guy who's going to mess up quite a bit, you, the guy that everyone knows is not together, has got a long ways to go. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, I'm going to use your life to change other people's lives. He said, Peter, I'm going to work such a beautiful plan out in your life. You have no idea. It pales in comparison to what you think could happen with your life. He said, but you can come with me. You can follow me. You can have a relationship with me, the Son of God, and walk with me, and I will blow your mind. I will do more in and through your life than you could ever imagine. And that's what he wants to tell you today. We can easily get caught up in religious activity. But the best change that can happen in us, fourth point, the best change comes from a relationship with Jesus. Because our faith is not about prescribing to a list of rules. It's about following a person. So you came to church this morning, this afternoon, and you thought somebody might just get up here and tell you all the things you're doing right, all the things you're doing wrong, all the things in 2014 you need to do better. It's not about a list of rules. It's about an invitation from the Son of God to walk with him, to follow him, to know him. It said they left their boats and they followed him. Yeah, you can do all, I mean, there's nothing wrong, by the way, with it's what God wants to do in our hearts when we start serving him, walking with him, doing the things that he wants us to do. But if it's just for the sake of looking good on the outside, it's never going to work. Religion can make you look good on the outside and make you all shiny and pretty and make everybody think you got it all together. But it's a relationship that changes your heart, a relationship with Jesus. And God is wanting to change you up to the image of his son through a relationship, from the inside out. That's what he wants to do in your heart. So this year, this month, don't make the same mistake I've made a lot of my life. Because I kind of try to have walked with my resume in my hand. And my view of who God was and what he should do in my life was all based on what I had done for him. And I was just trying to stack up accolades on a sheet to look good to God and to everybody else and just be like, God, surely you're going to bless me. I mean, come on. Look at all I've done for you. My resume is better. Sure, I've maybe fabricated a few things. We all do on our resumes, right? Joined that organization, had no point to it, never went, but it's on my resume. You know, I, by the grace of God, had a great church. Had a great group of friends growing up. And I was the guy that was in church on Sunday morning, in Sunday school, discipleship on Sunday night. Way too much going on Sundays for you to take it all in. Sunday night service. They wouldn't let me in the youth choir, but everything else, I was there. Mission trips, there, all of them. Church camp, I'm the first guy signing up. Got to college, joined some great ministries, thankful for them. I started working for a youth camp. I was like, man, Brad, such a great guy, such a great resume. Went to be a youth pastor in Texas. God called me for a few years, then came here by the grace of God, a part of Passion, had the chance to travel the world. And you just think when you work for Passion and go on the world tour and all these gatherings and PCC, it's like, how many worship moments have I been in? Which there is nothing wrong with anything that I just mentioned. I'm so thankful for it. But the mistake I can make is if I can get so caught up on doing and miss out on knowing Jesus. And all the things that I do should be the overflow and the result and the response to a relationship with Jesus, realizing who he is and what he's done in my life, and say, I just want to follow you, Jesus. You just tell me where to go, I'll go. Forget the resume, forget what's on it, because nothing on here is good enough. Just because you chose from the beginning to pour out your love, God, through your son, Jesus, pay the price for me, die on a cross for me, make a way for me. That's the only thing that counts. And so the flip side of that is really great news as well. Because some of you are like, man, hope we don't need to bring our resume next time. Hope we're not going to compare. Because I don't have a shot. I've messed up too many times, too many mistakes. If the people on my right or my left knew what I had done, knew what some of the stuff inside of me, the thoughts and the mistakes and the past, the baggage, they might not let me in here. We don't have a resume-driven faith. We have a relationship-driven faith. And we will never be good enough. And on the flip side, we can never be far enough from the chance at a relationship with Jesus. It's an open invitation for every single person to walk with the Son of God, to take steps closer to God with Jesus, and to walk in the best life that God had in mind for you and for me.